inside that marble stone before they start carving it out. I want to get something. They will see it. Now they will take their chisel and take every other thing. Now they know that the only way that that David can come out from that stone is to remove the things that is not making David to show. And chisel will do the work. So they take chisel and start removing. But that pass will now be going out. And then before you know, you will now see the David that they were trying to. So a David was hidden in that marble pillar that will become the greatest sculpture, one of the greatest sculpture in the world. But before that will happen, there are things in that marble pillar that needs to go out, and you have to take chisel to remove it. And so that same pillar, now it's in a very museum now. That thing is for years. The man died in 1500 something. That's when the man died, 88 years. But that thing is still sparkling, and the world celebrates up to today. Do you understand what I'm saying? So somebody, see, what it means is that you have a vision. You know where you are going to. You know who you want to become. But there are some things in your life that you need to chisel out, because those things will cover your glory. They will cover who you really are. And people will be seeing that thing without knowing that there's a glory in it. So you need to take chisel and start chiseling it. I don't need this place. So you see, even you know, everywhere you chisel, small, small corner, you chisel it as a lifelong thing. Some of you in your life, there are many things that, you know, is going with you. Many attitude, many character. That's what people see. They don't know that you're a nice person. Actually, you have a nice heart. But because of the kind of attitude, the character, the behavior, the things that you are not habitual to, that's what people see, and they are running away from you, thinking that you're a bad person. But you're really not a bad person. You have a good heart. But what people see, all of those things is to sit down and start chiseling them out of your life. That's what I came to tell you this morning. That's all. And when people now look at you at the end of the day, say, wow, you're beautiful. And everybody wants to make friends with you. And everybody wants to open doors for you. And say, oh, come in. You become a celebrity. The reason is because you have chiseled out some things out of your life. And you must understand that during the times of chiseling out of your life, it's not the easiest thing. It's painful. You know, when the Bible talks about circumcision of the flesh, there's a part of the flesh that you don't want, that you need to cut out. It's a covenant. And, you know, in these days, you use knife or sharp object or razor blade for a little child. But when God told Abraham, there was no knife, there was nothing. What they used was stones. And at that point, you become weak. When you remove it, it's your weak point, a bleeding time. Chiseling out things in your life can make you bleed. If you're in a relationship that is destroying you, you need to chisel out. And then you so much love the person, but you know that that person is covering you. You chisel the person out. You will bleed. It will pain you. But you see, most times, you know, let me give you an illustration. When Jonah was, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. So he entered the ship and he was going to Tarshish. And the wind came. And you know what those people did? They were removing the wrong thing. They were removing their bag. And the ship was about to capsize. There was one person that they need to chisel out of that ship. And it was Jonah. So they made him say, everybody is praying. Why are you not praying? And I'm like, oh, don't worry. He said, okay, all this, those people have ended up throwing all their goods they went to buy inside the ship, hoping that the ship will stabilize. But Jonah knew why that problem was there. Just as you know why you are not moving forward, you know why you are not transforming. It's not that you don't know. Many of us, we are aware. But just to chisel that thing out of our life is a problem. And the people, they said, okay, this Jonah was telling them, throw me out of the water. They were reluctant. It was just because I don't want to kill human being. just because they wanted to die. They said, okay, since he said we should, they took him and chiseled him out of the ship. And the Bible says there was stability. There are some friends you need to chisel out to. And that's the truth. And nothing but the truth. To bring that sculpture. You see the instrument. There are some you use sandpaper. Sandpaper they left for edges. I want you to picture carrying sandpaper and sandpapering your skin like this. To pee. So transformation is not about what you only what about what you add to your life, it's what you remove. So as you go into a new year, church, sit down and think about the things you need to chisel out of your life. Don't think about what the pain, but think about the glory. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured the pain. So I have a lot to say, but let me just quickly just try and tie this up this morning. So while you are considering what to chisel at that three part of your life, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Abi, is that not true? The body, the soul, and what? And the spirit. So that three part of your life. There are things in that part of your life that need to be removed. Now, let me see. I'm going to focus on one of them. Okay. Now, let me see. In your spirit, let's start from your spirit now. No matter what you want to become or the dream and the vision that you have, if you are demon possessed, that demon that is, you must chisel that demon out. Because you will never get to where you are going to. You must find a way. Look at that man. That was sleeping, was demon possessed, 70 demons. Because a person is demon possessed, you see, he will be doing the things that he doesn't want to do. He has a dream, but he will just open his eyes and be doing the things that he or she doesn't want to do. You just see you're thriving, you're doing something, but you just discover that the results will just be frustrating. So you come to a point and say, look, this thing must stop. Because you cannot have a demon sitting in the steering wheel of your life, controlling your life, and then you want to be transformed. Dreams will not, you will try, but you know it's not going to work. So there are things in your spirit that you do need, put them out. You need the Holy Ghost. That's the things that you put in. But before you put, remember what Jesus was saying. He said, when you cast out the devil, the place will be empty. Is that not true? Uh-huh. So that's another dimension, another message. So you will not have to fill the place with the word of God. But he said you must cast out that devil for that man's life to be transformed. Are we together, church? So the next thing is your body. You know, this physical, including all your organs and your system and all of that. A person that drinks, if you take him poison, you will die. Is that not true? Uh-huh. So all those things that are poisonous in your body, you need to remove them. Some of you, by removing them is through physical exercise. You know, when you work out, you do exercise, you sweat. That sweat is, many things are coming out through that sweat. They call it waste. Some toxic things inside your body can come out. Poisonous things can come out by engaging yourself in physical exercise. I was working with one of my daughter the other day. I said, because I was seeing some guests, they are putting on tattoo and all of that. And I was just like, oh, this tattoo that they are putting on and they are wearing on their skin, can they remove it? I think she said, yes, they can remove it, but they said that it's more painful. Is anybody bearing witness with that? Is it true? They say it's more painful to remove. You have to chisel out some things. but the thing can enter with ease. But the truth is, I was thinking about this. I see, if you have a tattoo on your body, I don't know if anybody has a tattoo, but I'm just saying, yeah, amen. If you have like a tattoo in your body, or you are thinking, if you are thinking to put one in your body, this is, and maybe this can sound as wisdom to you. Now the point is here, is that some people that are decent, once they look at you, it creates a perception in their mind. People like me, but unconsciously, it's not that I want to. When I see a lady with a tattoo in his body, I might be wrong. The person can be a virgin, but that impression, just like, ah, this person is living a rough life. As in, just, the person might not be bad, it might not be, you understand, but just create that idea. Until the person will not come and explain to me, I don't know, man, no. But you cannot be explaining to everybody like that. How many of you are like me who thinks like that? How many of you are like me? Raise your hand down. You think like that's it. So I'm not the only one. So if you think that somewhere here, and we're thinking when we see you, because man looks at their outward appearance. So that means tomorrow will come, you want to get married, you see that men will not be said, the good men that you want will not be running from you, because they think that you're living a rough life. Meanwhile, you're a good person. So once you have realized this, you need to chisel that tattoo out of your body. You need to remove it. It's painful, but you've got to go and do it. Are we together, church? Mr. Pastor, is he a sin? I don't know it, but I'm just telling you my own. That look, it creates a negative perception about you. Same thing with boys. If you do it, I just consider that you're a rough person. So one of my friends was asking a young girl, why are you having tattoo on your hand? He said, it's not anything. No. I just went to the salon. My friend was doing one day. I just said, I'm going to still put for my own. Just innocently. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's not a bad girl, but she's like, just put now, it doesn't mean. But you see, once you do that, people will start having a negative perception about you. And some people will put it on and they expose it. Some people will draw serpent. Abi? So you just told me that you are a demon possessed. Of all things you want to put in your body, serpent. Amen. So you see, there are things you need to remove from your body. Your look, sometimes your hair, the way you carry your hair, the way you know, all those things, you chisel them out of your life. Then the next thing we'll go to, the major one. We're talking about the spirit, we're talking about the body. Abi? The next thing is the soul. This is very important. This is the most important thing. I want to just stay with this as I close. So the soul is made up of three things. Number one is your will, your emotion, your mind, your will, and your what? Emotion. So mind, will, and your emotion. That's what comprises your soul. Mind, your will, and your emotion. Your mind is the center of your thought. There's nobody who doesn't think here. That's so if you think, you have a mind. And congratulations. If anything happens to the mind of a person, the person will go insane. The person becomes a psychiatric patient. Do you understand? So, the mind is the center of your thought. How you think. How you evaluate things. That's what you use your mind for. Then the next thing is your will. The decisions that you take. Amen. Decision that you take. And it's a free gift from God. Your will. And the next thing is your emotion. How you feel. So I ask you a question. How do you feel? How do you think? And what your will, the decisions that you take every day. So the point there is that if there are things that we need to remove, you see that sculpture, you see, they went down to even the smallest part using smaller instrument to make sure that they remove all those things. So you don't just remove things from your body, you don't just remove things from your spirit,
You also go down to your soul and even the smallest part of your soul to remove things, to chisel things out. So why do you feel how the way you feel? There's some negative feelings. The things that are in your feelings, you need to chisel them down when they don't help the transformation of your life. The way you think and your will as well. This is very important. So there are some questions you need to do. Ask yourself why you are doing this. Amen. You ask yourself, why are you always feeling sad? Why do you always feel sad? And before anything just happens, you are sad. So why do you always feel sad? So you need to discover that and chisel it out of your life. Why do you always feel sad? You're angry. You're not always happy. Number two, ask yourself, why are you always feeling unfulfilled? You're always feeling, I'm not fulfilled. I'm not gotten to where I want to be. Why are you always feeling like that? Why are you always feeling disadvantaged? This kind of feeling is dangerous. You're feeling that. And you know what it means for somebody to be feeling disadvantaged? You know, when I was a child, you know, I used to have a neighbor then. No, their father was a police officer. So when this man is coming from work, he will buy toys for the children. He will give them money, pocket money, you know. But in our own house, what? Amen. How many of you usually have pocket money? Good guys, great guys. Gen Z's, they give you pocket money. But you see, no pocket money. So at that time, I was feeling disadvantaged. I'm like, I wish this man is the one who gave birth to me. Amen. You start feeling that way. So that's for little children. But over the years, things now change. And I said, thank God, though, the man didn't give birth to me. Yeah, just like that. But the point is, it's okay for you to feel that way as a child, but you can't grow into an adult of still feeling disadvantaged. Be like, I don't know. I wish my father has money. I will not be here where I am now. One man was feeling this so strongly that he was like, I blame my grief. It was not only blaming, was blaming his great-great-grandfather during the time of slave trade. Now he said that, look, if he's not my great-great-grandfather, when they were carrying people to America for slave trade, he was running. I would have been a black American now. Glory be to God. Stop that entitlement mentality. Why are you feeling disadvantaged? Why? That thing. See, the longer you start feeling that way, your life will not be transformed. You must look at the advantage part of your life. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. Because the lead part is that even though you were disadvantaged, but in Christ, there's no disadvantage. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and behold, everything becomes new. Every disadvantage you had in your biological family, the moment you enter Christ, all those disadvantages are gone. So your feeling has got to change. So how are you feeling? Why are you feeling inadequate? Why are you feeling somebody that who is not acceptable? Why are you feeling that you are not able to do things? You are feeling that people don't like you. You're feeling that people, you are not acceptable. Everywhere I go, they don't accept me. People don't like me. Why are you feeling like that? Why? All those things will have to leave your emotions. They have to leave how you feel. You can't carry a negative emotion that wants to be transformed. Like, oh, I can't do this. I don't have the skills to do it. I am not able to. People don't like me. If I talk now, I don't know. You can't.
it's not just about what you receive into your life, but it's about those deposits, negative deposits in your life. You need to let them go. Why are you feeling depressed? Why always feeling depressed? Always feeling lonely? Your emotion. Even though people are around you, but you just feel that nobody understands you. You just feel very lonely. Sit in one place and be thinking about your life. And there are some of you that you just sit, only tears will just come out of your eyes. Then you clean it. The next thing you say, you just play, but you understand what is happening. That feeling, you need to chisel it out of your life. But people don't know that you are crying, though. People don't know what is going on, though. But they just feel that, and that's why some people come into group congregations like this. They are acting as if they are rude, but they are really not rude. It's because of what is going on inside them. Because they feel that people don't understand them. It's just like, if you know what I'm going through, if you know what I'm going through, the truth is that you won't be talking to me like that. But the person cannot tell you what he or she is going through. So when you see the person repeated doing like this time, you have like, hey, don't mind, bad character. He's really not bad character. So you yourself, seeing the person, you can't tell the person cannot understand. You need to deal with yourself and chisel that thing out of your life so that you can enjoy your life. Amen. You're feeling like a failure. Feeling frustrated. So a lot of feelings. I cannot, you know, deal with all of them. But I don't know. It's like, my age. I'm going old though. What have I even achieved, self? I'm no longer. And what have I achieved? Time is going. And you're feeling like that. You need to chisel that thing out of your life. Because what God wants to bring into your life now, He will not. Do you get? He wants to put in some things. But that demon must go first. So that feeling, that emotion must go first, so that God will have space to bring in what He wants to bring in. Amen. So that's about your emotion. Amen. So all of these things, what they do is they cover your destiny, the beauty, so that people will not see it. All they will be singing is an angry girl, an angry boy, a frustrated boy. That's what they will be saying. And you see, all of these things, they will have the way of affecting you, the way you dress, the way you smile. They will just, without knowing, you just be living your life like that. And boy, that's what they are saying. And when open door wants to come, do you notice that when people who get open doors, they are really not there when their decisions have been taken? They'll look at you for years. So they will not be having a meeting. Who do we appoint for this position? Everybody will not be, look at this brother, this, look at this. You are not there. So it is when they have concluded their meeting, they will not call you and write you a text message and call you and say, please, so we have discovered that you can do this. You are the servant that you are this. Can you? The same thing. If somebody wants to marry you as a lady, you will not be there when the guy will be taking the decision. In his heart, because he has seen you already, he will not take the decision. He said, I will go for that girl. Then he will not come and say, hello, sister. How are you? I want to get to know you more. He has already taken a decision. But you are not aware. Amen. So that's why it's important for you to start chiseling things out of your life. I hope I'm making sense at all. So do I still have time? Okay, so just give me like 10 minutes so that I can rush you down. So that's emotion. Then there's a level of thinking, your thinking pattern, always thinking in one direction. Why are you always thinking like that? Ask yourself. You know, information helps your thinking. Okay, but sometimes even when people bring a new information to you, you fight it. You're always thinking. Sometimes the way we're brought up, default. So we're fighting. So we're thinking in one pattern. And look at this scripture. If you look at that Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in New Living Translation, God sent. Huh? How did he put it now? Let God change you by changing the way you think. So if God wants to transform your life, the first thing he does is to change the way you think. When we say, oh, you need to become a graduate, go to school, learn things. Actually, it's not because of the fact and figure that you go there to read mathematics, 10 plus 10, quadratic equation, indices, all those things. Who indices help? Logarithm, raised to power of someone. So they don't help anybody. You get what I'm saying? But the point is, it just makes you to begin to think. That's why they give you math, so that you're thinking. You just build how you think, so that by the time they bring a matter before you, you can exercise the muscle of your brain. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. So it's important for you to understand all of this. So you have to begin to change your thinking pattern. Your mind is flexible. So think, some of us, we don't use our mind, our brain at all. We don't use it. We don't think productively. So we still, the way you were thinking 5 years ago, that's how you're still thinking. You've got to change the thought. God can't change you. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. No, NLT. NLT. Please put up NLT for me. God can't change you until he first changed the way you think. Look at it. Don't copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Oh, God, change my life, change my life. No, the first thing is the way you think, the way you are thinking it now. You can't, but I need you to start changing. If you see God as a consuming father, God far from you, you will just continue to speak, God, oh, father, father, oh, my God, oh, my God. Then God says, okay, I know that you know me, but I want to change the way you think. I want you to see me as father instead of seeing me as God. So that just revelation will change you. So God will not say, oh, you see your father, your earthly father, how do you say, daddy, me go? How do you greet in Benin? Love is it. You understand like that. The next thing, you're not seeing God as a father. What has happened? The way you think has changed. So what father does to children, God will start bringing them into your life. Why? By just simply changing the way you think. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's just a classical example of what I mean. God said, the way you are looking at me now, like a wicked person. You know, there's a way you'll be praying and praying and praying. You think that God does not answer your prayer. So you'll not be looking at God as wicked. Or God as somebody who does not care about your life. So once you start seeing God like that, until you change the way you think, your miracle will not come. So a pattern of church. You say, let God change you into a new person by doing what? Changing the way you what? You think. Can somebody shout hallelujah here? All right. You see, two can't work together except they agree. What does that mean? They have to think the same thing though. So, finally, we talk about your will. That's your action. Two things you do every day. Habitual life. Why do you take the same decisions that you take? Why do you live like that? So if you notice something that's good, you chisel them out of your life. Amen. Chisel those things completely out of your what? Out of your life. Amen. So identify those things and then take them completely out of your life. Amen. So these are the three things that you must watch out for that you need to take out of your life. Number one. Remember I said it's the soul that will focus on this. Okay. So in that your soul, there are three things. Number one, ignorance. Number two, is irrelevant people. Then number three, I wrote demons here. Maybe generally that's what I was thinking about. So that's just three basic things that you must remove from your life. Number one, you remove ignorance. You don't know. Now wait, listen. Let's hold on for that. Listen now. Listen to me, church. Listen. Look. Is there anybody that you watch on TV? Maybe they are younger than you, or they are a little bit older than you, or they are just your age mate. You watch on TV, and the whole world is celebrating them. Yeah, there's somebody like that.
No.
Now you look at your life. The distance between you and the person is far. Eh? Now the question is, now what happened to the person? Do you think that one day you will ever get to that place? Your answer, and be sincere with yourself. You think, but if you don't think that way, you will never get to that place. Because the truth is that she doesn't have advantage over your life. It's the same advantage. The only thing that she took time to chisel some things. If you have weight, you can't fly. So you need to remove excess baggages. And one of the excess baggages you remove from your life is ignorance. That if you have ignorance, God cannot help you. No matter how you pray. And I've said this several times. God can help you. No matter how you pray. He said, my people, Isaiah chapter 4 verse 6, my people perish because they lack knowledge. I told you I was looking at that scripture. I looked at it again. I looked at it, but that's what God, I don't understand what you're saying. If you say the people perish because they lack knowledge, I understand. But when you not say my people, another say you are calling them your people and they perish. You are not doing anything about it. And I read down, he said, because they rejected knowledge. So even though God is your father, you are the treasure, you are beloved, but you cannot perform above your understanding. He said, I have said, Psalm 82, that ye are gods. And all of you, God was talking, all of you are children of Most High. He said, they will die like men. He said, because they know not, neither will they understand ignorance. So how do you remove ignorance? By reading, a lifetime study. Your library will determine how far you fly in life. All these things that you come to church, you are praying, oh Father, money, the money will come, but what level of knowledge you have to attract the kind of wealth that you are trusting God for. You are saying that these days, because people, they have nothing in their head, the only thing that they have is their body. So they just use it to do hook up. Because you don't have anything, your head is coconut. That's the truth. But yet, there are some people that nobody can touch, but they are commanding wealth of nations. Boys, I'm sorry for you. See, you cannot use your own body now. So, you need to get something in your head. Do you understand? There's no options. As in, my child of God, you know that in no go area. You know, like that. I don't believe any of my... You don't do hookup. Or something that look like it. You know, some people, like, they are not a couple. They say just one person. Then you know why you are in that relationship, because it's what you want to get. You say, the moment I want to make my head now, somebody is hook up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? If the guy is broke now, you move to another person. He's hook up. But the Bible says marriage is honorable, but the bed on the fire. So it's a sin. I need to say that. Do you understand that? But where I was going to is knowledge. What do you know? How many books have you read? How many books do you have in your library? You will not read. Every leader is a leader. So that guy that you see is your age or you are older than, you will continue to fly because of the books they are reading and the things that they are chiseling out of their lives. Because they remove ignorance from their life every day. Every time you read a book, you remove ignorance from your life. You chisel ignorance out of your life. It's painful sometimes to sit down to read a book. But then you need to do it because you want to chisel a level of ignorance out of your life. You do that And then you realize that you start flying. You start flying. Anointed books, relevant books that gives you relevant knowledge. Build your skills as well. Things that you learn. Don't enter the stage when it is not your time, because you will spoil the drama. Because everybody has their own sin. So you go down. And you know, when Jesus was 12 years old, he focused on learning, acquiring knowledge. The Bible says they saw him in the temple sitting with doctors of the law. He was asking them and asking them questions, because you understand that you can only fly with knowledge. A person who doesn't understand will come to you one day and say, school na scam. It looks very sweet. And once he enters your way of thinking, game over. And then you can't say, oh, this school na scam. And then you don't get work. How many years? You don't? Hey, listen, no. It is not about what you go to. You see, you are going to school. It's not to get your job. It's just a wrong thinking. It's to expand your mind, your thinking capacity. To wake up one day and say, I can build a plane. The Wright brothers, it was through their mind. They sat down outside, they saw a bird flying. And they said, what is making this bird can fly? If bird can fly, human being can also fly. The day they said it, everybody was laughing at them. How can human being fly? They said it will bring it to pass. They went and started making plane, airplane. And the day the plane flew, the whole America, everywhere was shaking. That the plane flew for the first time. Anything that will ever exist in this world is in your mind. But what Satan does is to pervert the way of our thinking. And once you think wrong, you only see wrong. And the reason why you think wrong is the things that the environment has injected into your way of thinking, so that you don't live an excellent life. So focus on removing ignorance by reading books, by listening to tapes, watching inspirational videos. Reading your Bible, very important. That's number one thing. Listening to tapes, listening to men of God, listening to good mentors to drive away ignorance from your life. Number two, you remove ignorance people. I should not talk about this more. Ignorance people. Now, they said, show me your friend. That's what people said, and sometimes it's true. Show me your friend, and I will tell you who you are, who you are. I think I said one day, was in one of my books, I was saying that if you are a smoker, no, if you're not a smoker, you and you're moving with people that smoke, you can't tell me that you don't smoke. And I said this several times, you understand something? Now, a research was done, and it's my personal experience, like research was done that when people smoke, you know, cigarette now, it's not all those, but that one is worst. The normal cigarette, when they do it, they put filter close to the place of the mouth. They put filter. So when the person is smoking it, the nicotine inside is being filtered. So the person smoking it has a filtered nicotine. So the bad part will be going out. So you that don't smoke, you're sitting by the side. The raw one is coming to you and you are perceiving it. So research has seen that the person who is smoking is taking in 40%. You that is sitting by the side, you are taking 60%. Who smoke pass? Do you understand? But you don't say, I don't smoke. You are smoking. Because your friends are what? Smokers. You know, I had this experience one day. You know, that time, my wife just came. He was doing this health thing. So they had one machine. They used to put, how many of you have seen that machine? They would test your blood, this thing, if you haven't seen it. So she was doing marketing for the people. So it just saw these drugs, a supplement. So she was doing it that time. So she came to my house and they said, let me test you. She now put the machine. And they were really, they now discovered I have a trace of nicotine. That's what the machine said. Me, smoke? I never smoke in my life. What kind of rubbish is that? This thing is not correct. I never smoke in my life. That when she left, I was not thinking. I used to know the house I was staying is this passage house. There's one guy who stays in the house. He used to smoke Igbo. They are the owner of the house, so there's nothing you can do. So if you don't enter the bedroom on time, he will enter and spend hours and be smoking Igbo inside the bedroom. It's one bedroom. So usually when I'm hurrying, I want to go out for work, I'll be waiting for him. By the time he just, I cannot wait for the igbo to escape. I will enter and I'll be smoking igbo. I don't know. I didn't know that it was entering. I'll be perceiving it. I'll just take my, but you know, when you are in the place after some time, you will not be hearing the smell again. But the smell is still there. So you know what I did now? Before anything, wake up, whether I feel like bathing or taking my bath or not, I'll run to the bathroom, take my bath before the guy would enter. So the point I'm trying to make is that your friends, they influence you. You don't say, I don't drink, I don't womanize, I don't do, you can't. But the truth is that why don't you be friends to those people? That's your life. That's the direction of your life. One day, you'll be tempted to do it and go the same way. So there are people you must remove from your life. If you want to change your life, change your friends. That's the truth. Look for people who have high value or going somewhere. Make friends with them. Once they are taken, you hold them like this and they will fly with them. Just check what's the content of the discussion you always have with your friends. Street things, that's what they discuss. Streets. As when I mean street things, I say the things that are not beyond the street. No wisdom, no international things. You don't want to see yourself in the House of Representatives. You don't want to see yourself in the United Nations, speaking to governors, speaking to president, shaking hands with president of nations. You have never thought about it in your life. So, and if you don't think about it, you never achieve it. But there are young girls of your age or younger who think that one day I'll shake hands with the president of America. And you see, as they keep walking towards, because that's how they think, one day it will happen. You will sit in your house and be watching them. You say, this Nigeria, I like that Nigeria girl. That Nigeria girl is trying. That Nigeria girl is good. But yeah, it started with how they were thinking. So there are really some friends who, when talking about spiritual things too as well, you discover that with that book you do, you stay with your friends, you chat with the person, thank God for chatting these days, you stay online and see online. Before you know, they start influencing you. They influence you to negativity. Some people even have sex in the phone. They do all sorts of rubbish on phone and all of that. Influence. That's influence. So, if you want to, you know, we are going to 2025. And that's why I'm saying this now, so that you will know if you want really, if you want transformation. It's not a difficult thing, but it's something that when you are determined, you start taking them out one by one. So you see, I haven't said all of this, and you see that many things in your own life that you need to chisel out. How many of you agree with me? There are many things in your life that you need to chisel out. If you don't agree, you are proud. Amen. Glory be to God. And then finally, I talk about demons. I've said it before. Negative spirits. So those things, you do that by prayer. Pray, there's not that thing that can cast demon. You don't give demon fufu and he will leave you. Do you understand? And they don't beg demon. The more you beg, the more they multiply. So it is by the power of God that you chase out demon by prayer. Man, make friends with prayerful people, you begin to pray. You know, make friends with gossip people, you begin to gossip. Make friends with immoral people, you become immoral. There's nothing you can do about it. So can you bow down your heads and just pray this morning? I know I've taken some time, but then I just wanted that. I don't want to come back to it. So let's just pray this morning. So you just go ahead and just ask God to help you remove things. Grace to remove some things out of your life. Can you pray the prayer this morning and just like God? First sweeps, you start with is the sincerity of your heart this morning and say, God, I need to remove this thing. You are addicted to different type of substances. You say, God, I need to remove this thing from my life. Come on, go ahead and talk to God this morning. Lift up your voice and pray this morning, church. Pray and pray and pray and pray. You need grace. Everybody has got a need of grace. to do this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I release the blessings of God upon you. I release the grace of God upon your life in the name of Jesus. I decree that you receive grace. Grace to chisel unnecessary things out of your life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate God this morning? Amen.